The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, tonight I want to talk about the Jezebel Ahab spirit, how Satan brings divisiveness. Now, it's Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to 24. But for time's sake, I just want to look at one verse, verse 20. Jesus is talking to the church of Thyatira. He says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." If you look at this passage, it's evident there was not a woman in the church of Thyatira named Jezebel. He was obviously speaking about some kind of spirit working in and amongst the church. The spirit of Jezebel is an insidious spirit that works amongst God's people, and people have named it Jezebel because, if anything else, it's one of the best terms to illustrate the power of witchcraft to bring division. And as I've said, Jezebel can bring division in churches, in families, and even business organizations. So what we want to meditate on tonight is to consider the fact that that same spirit is at work in church today. Oh, I want to make up one other point. In verse 24, he speaks about the depths of Satan. And he's actually linking the Jezebel spirit to the depths of Satan. And if there's one thing that illustrates Satan's deepest, most devious deed and work in the church, it is the operation of the Jezebel spirit. And unfortunately, this insidious spirit finds its way to work through insecure, fearful, and controlling people. Wherever there's insecure people and controlling people, you're invariably going to find the spirit trying to find a way in through insecure and controlling people. And to some degree, it's found in every church. Now, let's turn to 1 Kings 16, verse 29. We're going to look at this story. King Ahab, who is her husband, we'll see there's not just the Jezebel spirit, but there's the spirit of Ahab. Jezebel tends to usually work through the woman, and Ahab's spirit tends to usually work through the men. Not always is the case, but generally so. Verse 29, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. But this guy was one of the worst kings that had ever been, and if it came to pass, if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, he took Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and served Baal and worshipped him. He reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him. Ahab was indeed one of the worst kings of record. Indeed, to this point, the worst king we find as far as one who turned away from the worship of Jehovah, and he actually married the daughter of a Satan worshiper. Now, what I want to do is look at the story of Jezebel and Ahab, and as we look at it, see if we can't glean truths about how the spirit of Jezebel Ahab operates in the church. All right? And it's interesting, as we look at the story of these two individuals, we'll see how the spirit works. First, I want you to look at chapter 19, verse 1. 19:1. The Jezebel spirit is an unseen power in every organization. Like I said before, the enemy is always trying to find a way to gain a toehold where he can. Would y'all believe that's true? Doesn't it say in John 10:10, "I'm come to give life and life much more abundantly, for the thief comes not but for to what? Steal, kill, and destroy." And you know, Satan is an insidious creature. He would love for people to believe that he's somehow not busy or not about his business, but I'm telling you, Satan is an extremely diligent beast. And one thing the enemy, in fact, we're told in 1 Peter 5 that the enemy walks about as a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom? Seeking whom he may devour. The interest being, he's seeking, he's looking, he's always trying to find a place he can get a foothold, or a toehold, or a stronghold, whether in your personal life, in your family, or in the church. And that's why God gives God's people wisdom and discernment and revelation, and causes us, Jesus, remember how many times Jesus used to say to watch and pray?
lest you enter into temptation. Remember what I say to you? I say to all to watch. Watch, lest in the middle of the night the thief should break through.
So the enemy is always trying to gain a foothold in this area. Every pastor needs to be cognizant of the working of Jezebel and recognizing that Satan's goal is to somehow debilitate, split the church, or at least immobilize the church, or at least reduce the pastor to an Ahab. If Satan can reduce a pastor to an Ahab, meaning a one that's passive and capitulated his authority for fear of being controlled, or capitulated or abdicated his authority for fear of causing a problem, then Satan is immobilized in the anointing over that church. That's the goal of the enemy, because he knows it's through the church that the gospel is going to come forth. The Holy Spirit's whole deal is through the local church. So Satan's whole deal is to immobilize the church, and the prime way he does it is through Jezebel, which we see in Revelation 2, is linked to the depths of Satan. So the purpose of this teaching is to try to expose the work, the way the spirit of Jezebel works in the church. This whole meeting is to expose the working of a spirit. I want you to understand, spirits work through people. And the way a spirit will work through one person may be a little different than the way it works through another. But a spirit can be known by the fruit of which it operates. So what God wants to do is give us discernment to see the operation of a spirit. And you know, we're to love our enemies but hate God. Isn't that right? And Ephesians 6 says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood but against principalities and powers. You familiar with those verses? Okay. I found the only way you can really love your enemies is if you have the discernment to see the Spirit at work. If you got it confused, where you kind of think the Spirit is the person's the Spirit, it's real hard to love that person. Amen? But when you've got the discernment to see, well, that person's a victim, they're causing much evil and wreaking havoc, but they're a victim, there's a Spirit working through them, then you can love your enemy, you can love the person, even when they're sitting there telling you, I hate you. I had someone very recently just tell me, I want to kill you. They said that to me. And I laughed. I said, and how long has this murder spirit been in your life? Praise God. But I've learned over the years, you know, that was a spirit. That wasn't that person. And I love the person that said it. But it's a spirit, and God wants to teach us how to discern between spirits and people. Can I hear an amen? So look at 19 verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Now, briefly, Elijah, the prophet, had killed 400 of the prophets of Baal. 400. Killed them all. So Ahab told his wife what he'd done. How he'd slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, said, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. And, you know, it's really sad what goes on to happen. We don't have time to read it, but Elijah was an incredibly bold prophet. I mean, he stood there before hundreds of Satan worshippers and called fire down. So Elijah had no problem standing up to the king of Israel and speaking boldly. You see, Elijah is one of the boldest prophets. But did you know, when this woman Jezebel threatened Elijah, guess what happened? He turned tail and he ran and hid. He hid in a cave. In fact, Norman Parrish, who's been in the ministry since the 50s, He's been in deliverance ministry for 35 years. One day we were driving from Guatemala to El Salvador on a long journey last year. And I remember I asked Norman about this. I asked him his opinion on the Jezebel spirit and Elijah's reaction. And this is Norman's perspective on this, and I'm inclined to believe it. He says he thinks at this point God disqualified God disqualified Elijah from ministry. Because when the Lord appears to Elijah in this chapter, if you'll notice, the Lord then told Elijah to go and find a successor named Elisha. In other words, when he allowed himself to be intimidated by Jezebel, he in effect short-circuited his power in ministry. And at that point, the Lord had to encourage him to appoint a successor to follow him up. If anything, Satan wants to short-circuit men's ministries by Jezebel spirits. And if you don't recognize that it's a spirit working, few things are as fearful. Few things are as scary as a Jezebel spirit, as witchcraft flowing through the Jezebel. It can strike fear in you in a way that hundreds of enemies otherwise cannot. And that's what happened to Elijah. He was extremely fearful. This passage here shows a picture of a woman in control. Ahab told his wife what happened, and she just took over. She threatened to get Elijah for what he'd done. Isaiah 3:12 talks about when a woman, women or children are in control, that's a real curse on the land. Now, the thing I want you to understand is Ahab's abdication. When Ahab abdicated here, and we're going to see further abdication in a bit, his abdication is just as evil in God's eyes as Jezebel's, what's the word, usurpation? How do you say that word? Usurping? Usurpation? Is that a word? When she usurped the power, his abdication of the power was as bad as her usurping the power in God's eyes. And one thing that opens men to the Ahab spirit is when they abdicate their authority by compromising the truth. And they open themselves to passivity, particularly in spiritual matters. And what happens many, many times, particularly in American families, more than anything else, is men abdicate the role of spiritual head. They abdicate the role of spiritual authority, all right? And they leave the woman in a place of vulnerability because the woman is often more sensitive to things of the Spirit. And so she usurps that authority and takes it. And he slips into an Ahab place, and the woman is, he tempts her and allows her to slip into the place of a Jezebel. Or he puts her in a place where she's then prone to the invasion of a Jezebel spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I'm going to show you, it starts with the man. It's the abdication of the responsibility of the man standing up for what's right. See, it's wanting to compromise truth for indulgence sake that he becomes passive and becomes an Ahab, and then the woman, he puts her in a position she should never be in, which is to be an authority, spiritual authority. You see, the result of the Jezebel Ahab is spiritual disorder and destruction. And did you know, listen to this, when you have a married couple that has a Jezebel Ahab spirit, do you know they're very destructive to the prophetic ministry? Because you see here, Jezebel, with an Ahab husband and the Jezebel controlling wife, she threatened Elijah and he ran. Did you know that's exactly, if Satan can get a couple in a church where the wife is usurping authority, the man's Ahabed out and he's abdicating the authority, do you know they become a threat to the prophetic anointing of that church? Anyone know what I'm talking about? And anyone that's moving in the prophetic anointing of Elijah in that church, they are the major threat that Jezebel Ahab working can cause fear, and that's exactly what Satan wants to do, immobilize the prophetic anointing in a church. I've found that, I wrote here in my notes, this ministry's worst enemies, our church, are those who operate in Jezebel Ahab's. one thing I've always emphasized in all the years I've been preaching is the importance of standing up for the truth, particularly for a man, and not compromising. And never abdicating your authority. And I tell you, we have made more enemies as a result of that. Because we live in such an Ahabic, is that a word? Ahabic? Passive culture. Amen? Amen? I mean, you flip on the boob tube. I mean, the husband is always kind of the dawdling idiot, right? The wife's the brilliant one. The wife's the... I mean, our culture says this feminism thing. I'm telling you, it's satanic. This whole thing of feminism and lifting... Look, God's got an order. You want me to write the verse? Write these verses down. There are four verses. Just write it down. 1 Timothy 2:12. You don't want to look at them tonight. 1 Timothy 2:12. 1 Peter 3:1. 1 Peter 3:1. Ephesians 5:22, Ephesians 5:22, 1 Corinthians 11:3, 1 Corinthians 11:3. God's order. God, the husband of the male, the woman. That's God's order. I'm sorry. I don't care what the feminists say. I don't care what Hillary Clinton says. I don't care what anybody says. That's God's order. God's order is the male has the authority of the head over the woman. You know, that is very non-politically correct to say today. And there is so much gaga about that in our culture. And that's why our culture has evolved into where we have a president who's an Ahab with a Jezebel wife. Hello? If we've ever had a class, and do you know our country is suffering as a result of this thing? And it's all kind of, the whole house of cards is coming down on them right now, the destruction. But that's always true, that there's been an abdication in our country. You know, you really can't blame our president and first lady. You know, I believe that the leaders of the country is reflective of where the country is spiritually. God puts leaders. It's not that the leaders drag us down. It's that the nation is reflected by the leaders. God says, okay, I'll show you what you are. Here's these leaders. That's what you are, nation. Given over to the passive spirits of abdication and unwillingness to stand up for truth and compromise. Feminism, homosexuals, and the rest. What's the great power in the country of these homosexual lobbies is the ultimate in Ahab is homosexual men. Men that want to be women. You know, Satan is doing his job quite successfully. But praise the Lord. When sin abounds, grace does much more. And at the same time, there's a great rise in the United States of the move of the Holy Spirit. There's a great rise in the United States of the Lord counterattacking. And actually, you know, it's really good what's happening in the United States. I'm looking forward to getting really a lot worse. Because when it gets a lot worse, it'll be easier to be a Christian. I was telling somebody when I was in India, one of the major things the Lord spoke to me in India, I was sitting in this upper loft apartment in the town of Paramakudi, South India, and it was really a drag because at 4:30 in the morning, they would turn on the siren music, the siren songs from the Hindu temples, and they would begin to sing these, you know, worship songs to the demon gods, and then it would end at 9:30, 10 o'clock. I wouldn't get any sleep. And it was ridiculous. I would have earplugs in, and then I would put the pillow like this, you know. And then I was under a mosquito net. And you know, it's the worst thing in the world is to be under a mosquito net with a mosquito in the mosquito net. And so then you got the flashlight trying to find the mosquito in the mosquito net. Because then the mosquito has nowhere to do but bug you the whole night because he can't get away. And so between the Hindu music and the mosquitoes, I didn't get a whole lot of sleep that week. And one night, I was sitting there and I said, Lord, this place, this is absolutely nightmare. I mean, this everywhere I go is these weird little demon gods, Shiva gods, and left and right, and these people, how can they live? You know the Holy Spirit spoke to me? Clear as a bell. He said, it's the same way in America. He says, only there it's more subtle. He says, you've got those siren songs singing from every corner of America. The pornography at every 7-Eleven. The liquor. The materialism. He says, in fact, he began to say, it's the demons in America are at every corner, just like in India. And then a thought came to me, it's actually easier to be a Christian in India than it is in America. It is, because every Christian I met, they didn't have anything to do with that temple, or that little demon god, that little icon to a weird god. I mean, it was real black and white. You either follow Jesus or you worship demons. And I'd walk by it and see people bowing down before these little statues and singing to it. It was real clear. And the thought came to me, it's actually easier to be a Christian in those environments than it is in America. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? So, you know, as it gets worse, it's really going to get better. Isn't that encouraging? I said, isn't that encouraging? That's true. Did you know, when you violate God's divine order, you open the door to the Jezebel spirit. And the reason Jezebel rules in the United States is because the divine order was violated well over a generation ago. And it's evolved into the point where the Jezebel spirits basically rule, I believe, over the entertainment industry, over the education industry, over the political scene. Now, why is it that men so often abdicate in spiritual matters? Anybody? Why do men tend to abdicate in spiritual matters, particularly in America? Why is it that in the average church you have 5 women for every man, particularly spirit-filled church? It's true. You go to the average spirit-filled church, there's 4 or 5 women for every man. And the men you have, you might be lucky if they're strong in the Lord. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Satan's done his homework. Sports, laziness, ambition, success, indulgences. There are so many things vying for man's attention. To pull him away from what God's called him to do is to be the spiritual head. That's why Jezebel, one of the main reasons that the Jezebel spirit rules in America is because of the abdication of the men. I don't have time to go into it, but I talked at great length to some of the pastors in India. One of the reasons I believe that our generation is so shot with wimp men. And I think it's because of the angry men that came out of World War II.
my father's generation that came out of World War II, so many men came out of that war and the Depression, and what it caused was a great anger to be over that generation. Virtually every young man I met that's my age over the last 10 years had an angry father. An angry father. So we have a whole generation of men that had angry fathers, and what they're doing is they're rebelling against the authority of God and abdicating. So in a sense, is we're under a generational curse here in America in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. That we're reaping the curse that hopefully it's already beginning to multiply in those beneath us. Now, 1 Kings 20, let's read on. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together. There were 32 kings with him, horses and chariots. And he besieged Syria and warred against Samaria. Now look at this. This guy Ben-Hadad, look at this carefully. He sent messages to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city. And he said, look, thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold is mine. Your wives and your children, even the best, are mine. Think about it. This king sent a message to Ahab. He says, everything you got is mine. Your kids, your power, it's all mine. That's the note that Ahab gets. Kind of a guy's kind of full of himself that thinks he's right? So what does Ahab do? And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to your saying, I am yours and all that I have. You know, Ahab is the quintessential wimp. He's the wimp. Ben-Hadad is like a bully. How many of y'all, when you're growing up, you had a schoolyard bully? How many of y'all read Calvin and Hobbes or used to and stuff? Well, Calvin and Hobbes always shows this little bully that comes up, you know, and knocks Calvin off the... And he just barges in, he demands. That's what Ben-Hadad did. He just said, Ahab, I'm the man, you're not, get out of my way. And Ahab went, I'm out of the way. Total wimp. Refused to fight. You know, I wrote here, many men are spiritual wimps and open themselves to a spirit of Ahab because of refusal to fight. In fact, it's interesting. Usually it's women that are most interested in spiritual warfare. And that's okay. Better women than nobody. Praise God. But it's hard to find men that are excited about spiritual warfare because so many men are passive. They don't want to fight. And you know why that is? Usually because of bullying relationships somewhere in their past. Somewhere in their past they were intimidated or fearful or bullied by somebody and they opened themselves up to an Ahab spirit. I remember I was in junior high. Well, it's 8th grade junior high. Or 7th grade, is that? 7th or 8th. And, about 7th grade, I guess. I would go out in the schoolyard, and there was this guy. I can't believe it. I wish I could go back in time and fix this, you know? But there was this guy who used to hold me in his arm like this in the schoolyard. You know, I had my head under there. And he would just hold me like that whenever he'd see me. And I'd have my head under his arm like that. He would squeeze it. And I would say, let me go. He'd say, no, Simpson, no. And he would hold me like 10 minutes at a time. And he did that for a few months, about every couple of days. He grabbed me like that, and he'd bully me like that. And I would let him do it. You know, I wish I could go back in time. You know, years later, I was in a deliverance session, about 20 years later, which would have been about five, six, 7 years, maybe 10 years ago. I was in a session, and I started yelling. All this anger came up in me against this guy. I mean, I began to want to pound the chair and was yelling. I had stuffed all this anger, frustration against this bully who bullied me. And I finally let it out. I didn't realize, but I hated him. I hated his guts. I've been a Christian 10 or 15 years at that point. And I hated this guy. And it was all in me. This hate was in me against this bully. Praise God for deliverance. Because it all came out. And there was a demon embedded in my soul. But, you know, it left when I finally forgave him. I forgave him in the name of Jesus. I forgave him. I forgave him. You know, it's interesting. Up to that point, I always remembered his name. I remembered everything about him. But, you know, right now I can't remember his name anymore. See, after I forgave him, it's like all the memories have gone away. You know, I believe that's the reason a lot of people have given over to Ahab. There was some kind of a bullying situation in your childhood, and you were hurt, and you stuffed it, and it's down there still.
and it's just been stuffed under layers of super spirituality, which you know you're still controlled by. That's often the reason. 1 Kings 20, verse 42, reading on. Now, what happened here is, we don't have time to read the chapter, but basically, Ahab let Ben-Hadad go. He was the bully, remember, that demanded this stuff. And at the end of the chapter is, Ahab let him go. He did not execute God's judgment against his king. So look what happened. 42. And he said, the prophet did, thus says the Lord, because you've let go out of your hand a man whom I appointed to destruction, that was Ben-Hadad, therefore your life will go for his life, your people for his people, and the king of Israel went to his home heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. So here the picture is Ahab never dealt with his enemy. I believe the picture is that Ahab thought that if he just ignored his enemy, he'd go away. He did not want to face and deal with the enemy. He just ignored the enemy. And so judgment of God came on him. You know the result was? It says he was heavy and depressed, displeased. The result was depression, heaviness, and gloom. You know, I thought that's exactly what happens with the Ahab spirit. Is when someone ignores spiritual, doesn't want to fight demons, doesn't want to acknowledge that there's a battle to be fought. And they think if I ignore, they think that verse that says resist the devil and he'll flee, they think it says ignore the devil and he'll flee. But the truth is, you know, you can't keep peace with a demon. You can't make the taunt or treaty with a demon. And they're always trying to draw up the taunt with you in peace treaties, you know, contracts. Back off, you back off, I back off. They do that to me all the time. Can't tell you how many times I've had voices, and I've actually had over the years apparitions appear in the room. Demons say, look, you back off, I back off. And I'm telling you, it's very, very tempting at times. You know, to quit preaching this stuff. I mean, you'd think I would know by now. I had this great prosperous ministry or something, but how can you back off? How can you back off when you found something that works, that sets the captives free? And anyway, if some demon's going to come to me and want to bargain about the deal, then I must have something that he wants. And if I got something he wants, he ain't getting it. Amen? I'm telling you, when you make a peace, when you compromise in spiritual warfare, you end up like Ahab here, depressed and heaviness. That's one of the reasons a lot of people are given over to heaviness, a heavy spirit, depression, and gloom. It's because of passivity and refusal to fight. You don't have to go to psychiatrist or psychologist or take drugs because of your depression. What you need to do is repent of your passivity and fight spiritual warfare. That'll go over real good in a psychological conference. Repent of your passivity and fight spiritual warfare. 21 verse 1. Now here's a classic picture they have. It came to pass of these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab the king of Samaria. And Ahab spake to Naboth, give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near my house, and I'll give for you a better vineyard. Or if it seems good, I'll give the worth of it money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to you. And Ahab came to his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. So Ahab laid him down on his bed and turned away his face and wouldn't eat bread. He wanted the vineyard. He went to this guy. The guy says, no way I'm going to sell you my vineyard. He said, and he went and he curled up in a fetal position on his bed and faced the wall and pouted. This is one of the clearest pictures of self-pity in the Bible. Because he didn't get his way, Ahab became sullen, withdrawn, and pouty. And you know, folks, another indication of an Ahab is self-pity. Self-pity is one of the most repulsive things somebody can move in. Self-pity, poor me, nobody likes me. And again, it's an attitude with the resulting of a passivity, of an abdication of responsibility and giving over and abdicating of standing up for what's right. Ahab spirits are often rooted. I wrote here, did you know the Ahab spirit is often the root behind much mental depression in men because they've lost their true authority. Now look at verse 5. Look where Jezebel moves in. But Jezebel, his wife, came and said, why is your spirit so sad and you eat no bread? And he said, because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite and said, give me the vineyard for money, or if it please you, I'll give you another vineyard. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, "Do you not govern the king of Israel? Arise and eat bread. I will give you the vineyard." You see, in his depression, he fully abdicated. His wife came in, and she took over. She says, "I'll do it." And if you read what happened, she sent letters. She raised up false witnesses. They lied about this guy Naboth, and then she had him killed. She had him murdered. Now, Jezebel is coming into full power here because Ahab is fully abdicated. I want to show you something. The Jezebel picture we see right here is a picture of a sorcerer. And the Jezebel spirit is a spirit of sorcery. And you actually see Jezebel begin to move in sorcery. I tell you, it's scary how much I see this in the national news. Let's plug in. How much sorcery there is in the present administration. I mean, spiritual sorcery. It's scary. Did you know there have been people actually who died in the present administration? There's all kind of questions about how the Jezebel Ahab and the murders that have gone on. I wonder how much this witchcraft is at work there. Sorcery, witchcraft, is to use one's will and ego to bring about one's own desires in the lives of others. This is a picture of Jezebel moving into sorcery. Now listen carefully. Did you know once sorcery enters a relationship, mind-controlled demons work with the sorcerer to subject the others under the power of the sorcerer. That's how it works in the spirit world. Once someone's abdicated to the power of another, then demons come out of Jezebel, and then they literally control with mind control spirits. It's actually a psychic thing where demons transfer, and they can control simply with a thought, a look, a gesture, and the other person's inhibited. You've talked about, you ever seen a man that's henpecked? You know, a henpecked Harvey Milquetoast? But there's actually witchcraft sorcery going on. That a woman can have a man just give him one little look and he shrinks and he's just completely oppressed in his gut, usually just full of fear. What do you think that is? Witchcraft. There are demons at work in that. And he's abdicated the responsibility and the Jezebel spirit has taken over. Do you know that happens in churches? You know there are preachers that get up to preach, and I've talked to preachers like this, and they'll look at the congregation and there's one person out there that can look at them a certain way with a certain disapproving look and the preacher will get all intimidated. And fearful, because the way one person looks, and that person is controlling the preacher with sorcery. How many of y'all believe that actually happens? You know what? That's one of the reasons we're a little church, because I would rather have a few people. I don't want anybody going to sorcerize, sorcery, whatever, to me. And I have no problem going to the congregation and commanding demons to come out and manifest in the people. And I've had instances in this church in the years I've been in ministry, people that operate in sorcery against me. And I tell you, I've learned this thing the hard way, that it's one of the most debilitating things when you're ministering the word is to be in any way intimidated by anyone you're ministering to. And yet that's what Satan wants to do, is take over our ministry through fear of rejection and fear of man. Now, I want to show you some examples of how Jezebel and sorcery works in a marriage. This is going to get so close to home, you're going to start squirming. How does Jezebel's spirits work in a marriage? Subtle or obvious rebellion against God's established order, first of all. How? Controls with emotions and guilt. Now, generally, like I said, the pattern is the Jezebel tends to work through the woman. The Ahab tends to work through the man. How many, look at this and tell me how many marriages you know this is how it works. The man is controlled under the woman's emotion or guilt, saying things like, if you were a real man, you'd be making a lot more money. You know, little subtle things are like something a mother may say to her kids. Your father never seems to find the time. You know, statements like that are demeaning. They're undercutting authority. And you know what they do? Did you know a Jezebel mother produces Jezebel daughters by undermining the proper authority of the dad? By subtle insinuations and nuances, and it can be very, very subtle. But it's saying to the daughter, you don't need to respect men are wimps. And you know, for a man to allow his wife to do that, he's setting his daughter up. And I'm going to show you in a minute, he's ultimate. Did you know the man is ultimately responsible for God? You know who's the real wicked one in God's eyes? It's the man. Because in God's eyes, he's abdicated authority and allowed, it's like Adam allowed his wife to be tempted. See? And Paul, that's why Paul said it was Eve that was tempted. It was Eve that was deceived. See, Adam went into this thing fully knowing right from wrong. You see, the judgment, heavier judgment came on Adam and Eve. Eve, it was understandable. I mean, Satan titillated her emotions. Adam knew. He didn't want to lose his wife, I don't believe. He had a choice between God and his wife. He chose his wife. So the real judgment is on the man. For a man to allow his wife to do this. At times, a Jezebel spirit, a woman can control her husband with silence, or false sickness, false guilt, never carrying the load, bedroom blackmail. You know, just saying, well, you know, well, I'll open myself to intimacies with you. This is never said, but the inference is, if you do my way. You know, Paul says specifically in 1 Corinthians 7, do not to defraud one another. You know that? Do not defraud one another. Knowing the power of such a thing. Talk submission while engaging in relentless manipulation to overcome. This is how Jezebelian spirits work in marriages. In essence, the Jezebel spirit controls by dividing with the goal of conquering. Again, the Jezebel spirit gains ground where God's order is not sought out, respected, or maintained. Wherever God's order is ridiculed, not sought, you know, there are whole denominations, I'm not going to say which ones, whole denominations where the idea that the man is the authority is ridiculed. And if you'll notice, those denominations are ruled by women and filled with homosexuals. Where the God's order is not maintained, ordered, and respected, the power of Jezebel comes into the family, the business, or the nation. The principle is the same. Now, look at 21 verse 15. Now look at this. It came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession. You notice, Ahab didn't even ask why he was dead. He didn't say, why is he suddenly dead? How convenient that he's dead. How convenient. But you know, did he know? He knew why he was dead. See, he was committing a worse sin than Jezebel. He was allowing it and denying it. And in God's eyes, that was a greater sin. And this is a picture of a man henpecked and intimidated by his wife. This is a picture of a husband controlled by proud looks, sharp tongue, sighs, whimpering, and whining. This picture of all that. Now look at verse 17. Look at God's opinion of this. And the Lord of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel. Notice God said, go meet Ahab. He didn't say, go meet Jezebel. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, where he's going to possess it. And you shall speak thus unto him and say, thus says the Lord, have you killed and taken possession? And you'll speak to him and say, thus says the Lord, and the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours. You notice God holds Ahab ultimately responsible. The point is, man's abdication, listen, is as bad or worse than the woman's sin because he allowed the woman to be tempted. Ignorance of God's order is no excuse. You see, even demons understand authority. Demons understand authority structures. And demons delight in any environment where authority, God's order, is denied, ridiculed, mocked. That is becomes Satan's playground. That's one of the reasons the church in America is just so shot full of Laodicea and lukewarmness. And that's why America has become such an abomination, because the nation itself has abdicated the basic principles of godly order and has bought into the lie of secularism and feminism and modernism. Chapter 21, verse 23. We're going to bring this to a close here. 21:23. Let's look how it closes. Here was 23. And if Jezebel spake the Lord, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And him that dies of Ahab in the city, the dogs will eat. And him that dies in the field, the fowls of the air. You know, I'm going to tell you. We don't have time to look at it, but you know, there are a few people in the Bible that were destroyed. Do you know how Jezebel was finally killed? the way she was finally killed, they threw her from a tower, and the king, she was dead down there at the base of the tower, and the king finally said, go get that wretched woman and bury her. She was the daughter of a king. She was the wife of a king. And when they got down there, the dogs had eaten all of her, but her hands, am I right, and her feet. They'd eaten the woman. And the testimony was that God's judgment on Jezebel was that she would become manure on the ground so that no one could ever go to a grave and say, here is Jezebel. She would literally become the manure of dogs on the ground. That's God's judgment against the Jezebel curse. See, the point I'm trying to make is Jesus said in Revelation 2, the Jezebel spirit is likened to the depths of Satan. God is trying to show the absolute disgust he has for the spirit. And yet, folks, I tell you, the spirit is so predominant in our culture. How many of y'all know, just from what I've said tonight, you recognize someone in your life is operating in the Jezebel spirit or an Ahab spirit? Huh? Nobody over here? Just over here? Oh, we'll pray for this side. Huh? How many of you here feel like you have moved at times in a Jezebel spirit? Let's see. More hands go up. Okay. How about an Ahab spirit? Look at this. For there was none like Ahab, which sold himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Look at this verse. In whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Jezebel stirred up his wife. Folks, few things are as destructive. Wherever there is an abdicating authority, there's always a controlling power to stir him up against God's order and truth. That's the principle. Wherever there's an authority that abdicates, there's a controlling power to take over. Now, to bring this to a close, I want to look at three things. The characteristics, roots, and maturation process of Jezebel. First, the characteristics of the Jezebel spirit. Let's consider that. I recognize, until far too late, Jezebel spirits in their midst. Or, when they recognize it, they'll try to deal with it in the flesh. By the way, you cannot deal with a Jezebel spirit in a church in the flesh. You can't. You can't go and just say, you got a Jezebel and you just need to get out of the church and you need to repent. It ain't going to work. Because usually a Jezebel, Satan wants to bring division to a church through someone who already has a lot of credibility in the church. And often it's someone like the wife of the king. He'll work with someone that's been well known and has a lot of people that already respect and see godly attributes in that person. So if you deal with the flesh, you may have a church split right there because that party will pull back and say, well, gosh, you're moving in control. See? You cannot deal with Jezebels in the flesh. You're talking about something frustrating. When you see someone moving in Jezebel's spirit, you're seeing people, innocent sheep, babes in the Lord, hurt and wounded and damaged and pulled away. And you see it going on and you get angry. But you know, if you manifest your anger, you'll lose more. Or the leaders may recognize the Jezebel and they'll compromise with the Jezebel to keep peace, which is the worst thing. Better a church split to me than compromise. And you know, there's no ministry immune to the manipulation, none, of a Jezebel spirit, because this is the depths of Satan. This is how Satan wants to bring damage. Someone moving a Jezebel spirit tends to gather people to herself. If you remember the story of Absalom? King Absalom, the son of David, is the perfect type of a Jezebel split. Absalom brought a split to the nation of Israel. Remember the story? And he was close to the king. He had credibility because he was the son of the king. Everybody honored him. And right under the king's nose, he split the nation. A perfect type of a church split through Absalom. He was moving in the Jezebel spirit. And if you'll notice what Absalom said, he made subtle insinuations against the authority of his father so people would look to him. That's what a Jezebel will do. Subtly, very subtly, indict, speak against the authority, the nature of the authority of the church to gather people to herself. There's a false humility. We'll talk submission while rebellion's in the heart. Publicly often seems so spiritual, concerned with the needs of others, but behind the scene uses subtle emotional blackmail on the leaders. Well, blackmail the leaders. I tell you, I have experienced these things. Religious spirit. Jezebel spirit. You know, I've found down-to-earth people are usually not susceptible. You know what I mean? Down-to-earth people, gutsy people, people that are real. You know, real gut. Usually are not susceptible to the spirit. It's usually people that are kind of airy-fairy. You know, usually people that are subject to the Jezebel spirit are people that are bitter. If there's bitterness, if there's unforgiveness, it never did. That makes them prime target for Jezebel, when there's bitterness hidden down. You know, when the Jezebel spirit's around, you get a check in your gut.
and I've gotten it over the years. When I'm around someone that's got that spirit, I actually can feel it now in my spirit. I get this thing. You get around someone, like, you just feel this thing down in your gut. And you know, God wants to teach you how to operate from there. That's what discernment is. Amen? To learn to read from your spirit, discern what you're sensing in the spirit, not what you're thinking, but what you're sensing in your gut. Go to the Lord. Out of your belly will flow rivers. The Lord wants to teach you to discern from your innermost being. And like I said, the real person is often hid under layers of bitterness. A Jezebel spirit often, the person often has family disorder. The husband's usually an Ahab. The sons are usually insecure and sometimes they're effeminate. And the daughters tend to resent men and are masculine. Do you know, in many, many cases, the homosexuals I've dealt with in deliverance over the years, invariably, they had a Jezebel mother and an Ahab father. And because what happened was they had a strong mother figure, so they modeled after the strong effeminacy of mom, and that's how they developed the effeminate traits. And they had no respect for the dad, so they never had the proper model for a father. Many, many homosexuals grew up in Jezebel Ahab environments. It breeds homosexuality. Uses God's name as a cover-up. Often will quote a lot of scripture. Always talks about what God said. Always watch out for somebody that's always talking about what God said this and God said that, me and the Lord this, me and the Lord that. I have little bells going. Look, this me and Jesus stuff, our town, our nation, our country is so full of this me and Jesus stuff. It's not me and Jesus, folks. It's we and Jesus. I'm going to repeat that. It's we and Jesus. It's not me and Jesus. It's we and Jesus. It's not my Father in heaven. What's the prayer? My Father in heaven. What is it? Our Father. We're called together. We're a body of Christ. And these people walking around saying, I heard God this and I heard God say that. I'm telling you, it's primed to deception. If you think you heard God, fine. Go and let it be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. But safety is in the multitude of counselors. It's in the body that we hear the Lord together. This is not a me and Jesus thing. And we got someone that's always hearing the Lord and always, they have this, they come down from Sinai every week and they have these tables of stone. What Jesus said this week, I'm telling you folks, that's not New Testament. New Testament is we come together and we humble ourselves together and together in unity, in meekness, in humility, we hear the Lord together. Are y'all with me? But I'm telling you, listen to current evangelical teaching and thought. It's me and Jesus, you and Jesus. It's like there is no body of Christ out there. You flip on the radio, you flip on TBN, you turn on most Christian radio teachings. It's all about me and Jesus. Folks, it's we and Jesus. God never intended us to walk this Christian life alone. He meant it to walk it with each other in mutual submission, mutual humility, confessing faults one another, walking together, broken before the Lord. And no one of us has the old picture. None of us can get a hold of what the Lord. Look, I may be the pastor here. That doesn't mean I've got the word of Jesus. He'll speak to me, but I have to check it out and get it confirmed in the mouth of many witnesses and bounce it off of people to solidify whether I'm really hearing from him or not. Amen? Safety is in the multitude of counselors. Has a ministry of prayer. Usually a person moving in Jezebel always comes across super spiritual. But they'll pray prayers to make people do things. What I call control prayers. They say, Lord, would you do this? They're like God is their divine secretary. Lord, well, we pray that you would do this and you would do that, you know, and you would fix this person. You know, Lord, would you tell my husband, Lord, 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 I want you to this and that, my husband. You know, the Lord never listened. You know, the Lord's always doing. Has the Lord ever told you when you went to whining to him about somebody? Has the Lord ever sidled up to you and went, yeah, you're right. They are really a jerk. Bless you. I know you got it tough. Because I have gone to the Lord and I have griped about people. I have done that. But you know what God invariably does to me? He'll go, what about you? Didn't I tell you to love your enemy? Didn't I tell you to turn the other cheek? What's the matter? Is that one not tough enough? You want a tougher one? I'm just trying to teach you how to love. See, that's the kind of stuff God says. And you always know it's God. And come on, somebody comes back and says, well, I went to the Lord and he basically said that basically my sin's the big issue and I just need to ask you to forgive me. You know, somebody comes to blame me. Well, I talk to the Lord and he's just showed me all these sins you have. I'm sorry. Yeah, you talk to a Lord or not, but not the Lord. Seeks to infiltrate leadership. Oh, look, seeks out people to minister to. Whoa. Usually new susceptible believers, also weak, insecure, gullible people. I've seen that. A Jezebel will kind of hover on the edge of a church and pick off the weak sheep. It's sickening.
And, you know, just pick off those who are susceptible to be deceived, particularly new unbelievers who have no discernment. It's real sad. It's just like a wolf on the side of a sheep. A herd of sheep? Herd? Flock of sheep. I heard of sheep before. I heard of a flock of sheep. Seeks to infiltrate leadership. By the way, pastoral anointings particularly attract the Jezebel spirit. And you know what a Jezebel spirit will do? They will use flattery. Flattery. Man, I can remember one time, years ago, somebody came to my office and they just said, man, there's such a glow of God's anointing off of you. I remember going, really? Whoa. And later I looked in the mirror. What is that glow? Did you know that guy turned against me? Was one of my worst enemies I've ever had. A couple of years after that. And I didn't. I was just naive. Came with flattering words. You know, there's a verse that says, flattering tongue spreads a net for the feet. Okay, the root causes of Jezebel. One of the major ones is a rebellion. Jezebels can never really submit to anybody. Those, by the way, those with the Jezebel spirit are always an emotional drag of to those over them in the Lord. If you're trying to disciple a pastor or lead someone that's got bitterness in their heart, someone that's insecure and wanting to abdicate, take over, it's really a drag to try to help them. Because it's very hard to help someone when they don't have a submitted heart. Rebellion is as the sin of what? The next area, root cause of Jezebel, and this is one of the most common, is bitterness. I wrote here 90% root reason Jezebel spirits get a hold is because of bitterness, at least 90%. And you know, usually they're bitter because their parental authorities were bitter. And they feel, a Jezebel spirit will feel that no authority can ever adequately cover them. There's always a complaint. There's always some kind of gripe about the authority. Always pointing out, always trying to undermine the pastor. And you know, it's like I've told people, you know, some people, they just can't find the perfect church. They're always looking for the perfect church. And they go from church to church and they find some flaw in the pastor. Lo and behold, a flaw in the pastor. You know, where people get this idea that pastors have to be perfect, you know? But you know the problem is, if you ever found a perfect church, you know what happened then? Well, you're there, so it's not perfect anymore. The next area is fear. These are root causes. Fear being controlled, it often prevents any true submission. Often this thing about being controlled and there's so much out there about controlling pastors and look, that is so overplayed. Yes, it happens in cases. Yes, there's abusive pastors. But you know, there are books written about abusive churches and people that are abused by authorities. But I would like to see books written about those who abuse authorities. You know, those who, the poor thing the authorities go through with the people that sit below them and always constantly put on them the mandate that they be perfect. You understand what I'm trying to say? There's such a thing in America. There's such a fear of authority that if there's any kind of pastoral overbearance, it's a cult. It's a cult. And then everybody's justified to judge it and withdraw from it and then go to a church. Folks, I submit to you, most churches in this city don't have a really understanding of spiritual authority. What it is, you can go to this big church, you can hear the teaching, and you can involve in this and that, but there's nobody really speaking into your life. Correction. Because, you see, correction involves rebuke and reproof. And it involves repentance and involves dealing with sin. And most people would rather go to these big churches where you can hide and you never have to really have a pastor. Because a pastor, a real pastor, is one who knows his sheep. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what a staff, a rod is? That's to comfort the sheep. It's a comforting thing to be whacked by a rod. Amen? When you're wandering out towards the wolves. But you know, there's so many wolves in the midst of so many sheep where there's no authority structure. And it's interesting, those are environments where there's no designated authority structure have a real easy time judging those works that do have authority structure as controlling cults. And all I say is, by their fruit you shall know. Don't ever judge a ministry apart from the fruit. Do you feel the Lord Jesus Christ there? Amen? Don't ever judge it other than the fruit. That's the barometer Jesus said. You know it by its fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Pride. Root causes of Jezebel. You notice a Jezebel spirit always tends, person moving, always tends to steer the conversation back to themselves. They're always, every time you talk, within 5 minutes, they're talking about themselves again. Okay, it always kind of comes back to me, my, and mine. I wrote here, another key manifestation is self-pity. Self-pity, they will use it to get their own way.
Self-pity, by the way, is kind of reverse pride. It's really pride. And then an unholy spirit. Did you know someone that's maturing in a Jezebel spirit will actually seek guidance of unclean spirits? Did you know there are well-meaning Christians that actually consult unclean spirits for guidance? You know how? You know how they do that? In fact, I bet you there's number ones in here. There are a number of you here that actually talk to unclean spirits for guidance. You know how you do it? When you justify your resentment against somebody. If you justify being bitter, or justify judging someone, did you know you're consulting an unclean spirit? If you ever justify or are listening to a voice in your mind that makes you feel good about being bitter or makes you feel right about judging someone, did you know you're conversing with a demon? Hello? Am I right? What did Jesus say? Judge not. If you forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And that's the way well-meaning, born-again believers converse with demons when they listen to voices that make them feel good and self-righteous in their, and justified in their resentment. I'm telling you. And you know, you start down that road, eventually if you listen to a little ABC demon, before you know you may be listening to an LMNOP demon, and then you get into the XYZ demons, and that's overt occultism, where you literally call on conjure spirits to send them with hex powers to control others, which is overt witchcraft. But whether it's ABC or XYZ, witchcraft is witchcraft is witchcraft. Are you with me? This is why we have massive crowds coming to these teachings. As you can see, people love this kind of teaching. You know why most people don't want to believe that Christians can have demons? Because the theoretical thought that Christians can have demons, if you're a Christian, what does that imply? I could have demons. You know, people don't want to hold and entertain the concept that a Christian could have a demon, because if you follow it logically and I'm a Christian, then I could have a demon. God forbid. So they like to hide in the theoretical, but hey, the real truth is, can demons have Christians? All right. Yes, they can. Maturation. Folks, you don't... You don't wake up a Jezebel, okay? The heart of insubordination is really the beginning's manifestation. Did it fall off? The heart of insubordination is the beginning of the manifestation of Jezebel. It's a process. You know, what it is someone who's always questioning authority at every step. A heart of insubordination. Never really a broken, humble heart submitting to authority is the beginnings. Then as over time, the maturation... See, it's like a Jezebel. Think of it like a seed that slowly grows in a person. They water it and they tend it, the spirit. Solicitation. There's always a subtle promotion of self, you know. There's always a subtle promotion of self. Always something, always giving in order to get. There's always kind of a self-seeking motive. And you know, anybody that moves in Jezebel's spirit is extremely insecure. And they're trying to gain status, security in themselves by the, commendation of others, right? And they're using whatever means they have to garner acceptance by virtue of others. So they literally become, and you see again, a person that's a Jezebel spirit moves through, they don't understand what they're doing. They're simply hurt, bitter, resentful, rebellious, and they're trying to find acceptance through others. But what they're doing is they're allowing a demon to begin to manifest and take root in their personality. The next, as the Jezebel spirit grows stronger, then it manifests in malice and manipulation. As it Jezebel spirit matures, a person will literally begin to do things with the intent to hurt. And you know what I mean by that? They'll begin to deliberately slander people and take vengeance and go on campaigns to straighten people out. Now, it may be not overt hurt, but it nevertheless, it's like I'm going to make it clear to you, I'm going to make it clear that this is the way things ought to be, and they begin to move and control, and particularly slander and gossip. That's when it's really beginning to take root. And as someone begins to give themselves over to this more and more and more, they'll move more and more to the point of occult and spiritual violence. This is when a Jezebel spirit is getting very, very strong. I personally have never encountered a Jezebel spirit of this caliber in any work I've been in. Usually they're at the level 3 before. I've sniffed them out. They've caused enough damage. But in, this happens, by the way, in big churches. There are big churches, bigger churches, where if there's not enough pastoral scrutiny and accountability, that people can actually get into literal occult power, begin to move. And, you know, that's not so uncommon anymore with all the New Age stuff that's everywhere. Now, you can't even go to a B. Dalton bookstore without a rack on, what, visualization and what is that, that dream hypnosis stuff. Now, I'll tell you, people start listening to that, they don't even have any idea. They open themselves to occult power. And they find out they can, you know, they can visualize things and they can, they're actually using witchcraft power that they don't understand. It's demons anyway. So, and they find, gosh, I can get my way in the church by utilizing these certain means. See? Now, if you were in Haiti, you would pull out a little voodoo doll of the pastor and stick pins in it, see? But in America, we're more sophisticated. We buy a little cassette tape, see? It's the same power. It's the same witchcraft. Did you know two Jezebels at this stage could rip a church apart? In fact, I've heard testimonies. When you get two Jezebels in a church moving in this stage, they literally have enough power. If the pastors are not moving in wisdom, grace, humility, and anointing of the Holy Spirit, they can rip a whole church apart at this time. And it's happened. It happens all the time. Again, it's Satan's, the depths of Satan. And finally, you get down to murder. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. A fully matured Jezebel is someone that's moving in malice, hate, and murder. That's when you get where someone is literally praying that the pastor dies or that the pastor wife dies. And that happens. Praying that Jesus would take them home to be with the Lord so that their way could be done. Now, one last verse in conclusion. I want to show you the solution. Malachi 4, verse 4. In conclusion, how do you deal with it, Jezebel? Malachi 4, 4. Malachi is the last book the Old Testament. Remember, Jezebel was opposed to Elijah, but I submit that it takes the spirit of Elijah to overcome Jezebel. Now look at the way the Old Testament closes. Suddenly this may show a new light on you. Malachi 4:4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, I want to show you, this is fascinating, what the spirit of Elijah will do. Didn't we see that what the spirit of Jezebel did was bring a breakdown of the order of the family, right? We saw that the spirit of Jezebel played on the breakdown of the order, like to put the men in the place of abdicating passivity and the women in the place of control. But look, he says, I'll send the spirit of Elijah, and he will turn, look, the heart of what? The fathers back to the children. And the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. That is an amazing way to end the Old Testament. The last word of the Old Testament is curse. And it was. That's really what the law was. It came and it brought a curse. But the good news is that Jesus Christ gives us authority and the thing we have to prevent and destroy the Jezebel spirit. And this is where I want to close. It is the prophetic Elijah, let's say the prophetic. Elijah represents the prophetic anointing. The prophetic insistence of truth and order always destroys Jezebel. The prophetic insistence of truth and order. Loving truth, loving order. Esteeming truth and order higher than anything else always breaks down and eliminates the spirit of Jezebel. As long as you love the truth in spite of yourself, you will be a threat to the Jezebel spirit. As long, I wanted you to write that down. As long as you love the truth in spite of yourself, you will be a threat to the Jezebel spirit. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know that you love the truth more than anything else? Yeah, here's the question. About yourself. How about the truth about yourself? Are you willing to face the truth about yourself? Even if it means facing things inside yourself you'd rather not face. Are you willing to face the truth? Are you willing for God to put anyone in your life that he needs to so that you can see areas of truth in yourself that you've been lying about and denying? See, in Psalm 51, it says, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts,
into the hidden part and make us to know wisdom. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you love the truth, that is the key to break Jezebel and love God's order. And wherever there's a breakdown of the order, that's where the snake can get in. So, if you find yourself operating in the Jezebel spirit, there's a four-step solution. Number one, how to get free is confess the rebellion, the manipulation, and the control. To confess it. Confess, Jesus said in John said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us. That's the first thing. You have to confess that you're moving in rebellion. You're moving in manipulation. That you have a heart of insubordination. That you're rebellious. Confess your sin to the Lord. Number two, what you need to do is you need to have the Jezebel curse broken over your life back seven generations, but it has to be under the anointing. Have the Jezebel curse broken under the anointing. Number three, break every soul tie between you and anyone who's ever manipulated or controlled you, or anyone you've ever manipulated or controlled. Break every psychic tie and band in the name of Jesus. And number four, pray to the Lord and go to your pastor and ask him how you can operate in true, godly submission and humility in the Lord's order. First, confess the sin. Second, break that Jezebel curse seven generations under the anointing. Got to be a heaven anointing. Third, break the soul tie. Break the unhealthy bonding. Break the unhealthy tie between anyone you've ever controlled or manipulated, or anyone that's ever controlled or manipulated you. And then fourth is go to an authority in your life and submit and say, how can I operate in true and godly submission? Can you hear an amen? Let's all stand. I want to pray for you right before we leave. After a sermon like this, it's very essential that we pray and we cover ourselves in the Spirit so that the enemy does not take advantage of this. This is like coming to a strategy session and the enemy's right outside the doors. Jesus said that the word sown is, when it hits the wayside, the birds of the air pluck it up. You know, the enemy would love nothing more than pluck this truth out of your heart. This is some serious stuff. Amen? This can save families and businesses and churches and lives. It can save people's lives. And as you can see, it's nothing but what's in the Word. It's the simple truth in the Word. Lord, I pray that you would allow this Word to find its way deep in our heart. Father, that you would give us primarily discernment. Keen wisdom, sharp discernment in the Spirit, Lord Jesus. To understand that not only are there Jezebel spirits, but we ourselves, everyone here that's got any insecurity is culpable, Lord, of being invaded and having a spirit like this work through us. Or an Ahab spirit. Lord, any one of us, Father, but for the grace of God. But for staying close to you, but for love and truth. Lord Jesus, we just want to make a commitment to love truth. Now, if anyone here has been convicted of any rebellion or heart of insubordination against authority, I'd like you to raise your hand. Any rebellion or heart of insubordination, any questioning authority, okay, I want you to confess that to the Lord right now. Remember one thing about authority. David had a terrible authority, King Saul, wicked authority. And yet, no, the Bible says he dared not stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed. You have to honor God's authority, even if it's not walking in righteousness. And there's no authority that walks in perfect righteousness. So ask the Lord right now to forgive you. Confess that sin of rebellion. Confess that sin of insubordination. Just tell him. Say, Jesus, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to have a broken and a meek and a lowly heart. I don't want to be subject to a Jezebel. I don't want to allow my heart to be subject to a spirit that could invade me. I want to move in God's order. I want to be broken. I want to be a servant of all. I don't want to operate in the spirit of the age. I want to be move in meekness and lowliness. For you, submit yourself to all. Now, I want to break generational curses off of each one of you, seven generations. Lord, I ask you to come with an anointing right now. You said that whatever we ask in Jesus' name we shall have, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, those that have confessed, how many of you confessed there may be Jezebel in your family line? There was Jezebel in a father, a mother, a grandmother, or there was an Ahab in a father or mother, okay? Lord, any one of these that have raised their hand, in the name of Jesus, under the unction of the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take authority and we break the power of Jezebel. Satan, I break the curse of Jezebel back 7 generations in the name of the Lord. I command the curses to be snapped and severed over every one of these saints. Lord, send angels with swords and break it 7 generations in the name of Jesus, the Jezebel's spirit of rebellion and witchcraft. I break your power. And now every Ahab spirit of passivity and abdication, every Ahab spirit of running and fear, we break your power over these souls in the name of the Lord. I sever your power over them in the name of Jesus and from any generations to come from them. We break it off their children in the name of the Lord. We break it off of their grandchildren in Jesus' name. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask you to come and show us if there's anyone that we have controlled. I want to ask you if there's anyone here that you yourself have moved subtly, overtly, or in any way in any kind of Jezebel control over anyone. Manipulated, controlled them, and subordinate towards them? Raise your hand, please. Okay, now, is there anyone here that you have been subject to the control of another? There's been a Jezebel. You've been like an Elijah. You've run and hid from a Jezebel spirit. Okay. Now, confess that to Jesus right now. Confess to him your sin of exercising that control, and then ask the Lord to forgive you for allowing yourself to be controlled. Just confess it to Jesus right now. Now, then I want you to confess the names of the people right now. Confess the names of the people that you've controlled in any way, manipulated, or out of your insecurity, caused them to be driven by you, be manipulated by you. Confess those names to Jesus. And now confess the names of anyone that you've allowed to manipulate you or control you. Just confess those names to him. See, all of this is done in the Spirit. Lord, I ask as you confess these names, as I ask you to send angels now between every one of these. And as I pray the prayer of faith, I ask you that the angel just raise a sword over each one. And you would sever every psychic tie, every psychic band, every soul tie, every hold in the spirit world that would sever their spirit, Lord, from the control and manipulation of fear of man of others, whether they're giving out or receiving. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, I break and I sever the soul ties. I sever the power of these things in the name of Jesus. We command it to be done in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I snap and break your power in the authority of Jesus Christ. We break every power of those that have manipulated us, controlled us. We break the authority of those things. We release ourselves. Father, we ask for an autonomous relationship with you, a clarity with you. Father, a solidarity with you, a singular relationship with you. Holy Lord, with you. And we break the power of anyone under us where we've needed to operate in control or manipulation for our own security. We break that. We break the psychic power in any demon resident in those soul ties. Snap and break your power off these saints. In the name of the Lord. Take a deep breath. There's about 7 of you yawning right now. Some spirits coming out. Go ahead, let it out. A bunch of y'all were just yawning. I could see it. Let them out. Any spirits in there, any spirits, come out in the name of the Lord. I command you to come out. Come on. Come out. Any spirit that's sitting there on those souls. Come on. Any spirit. Come off the human spirit now. Come off now. Come on. In the name of the Lord. Come off those spirits. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Just take a deep breath. Just let that thing go. It's like letting out a tension down inside. Let it go in the name of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Release them. Release him. Release him in the name of Jesus. Release him. So you see, you'll know you're free from parties that we're soul tied to. The way is you can think about them and there's no emotional hit. You know what I'm saying? You can think about them. You don't get any kind of in your emotions. You're free. You're free. There's no more control, no more fear. You can think about a person, you don't feel fearful anymore. Or you don't feel, you want to manipulate it. You're just free. You're free to love them, to lay your life down, to go the extra mile. To love your enemy. That's when you know you're free. Come, Lord. Raise your hands. I want everybody to raise your hands and just thank the Lord for setting you free. Thank you. Just thank you. Come, Lord. Send the Spirit. Just liberate them. Every one of them. Set them free, Lord. Set them free in the Spirit. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. I see a bunch of you more still letting it out. Come on out. All you spirits, come out. Come out. I command you. I can see you manifesting. Come out. Name of the Lord. Leave these saints. Leave them. Satan, leave them. Leave them in the name of Jesus. Rebellious spirits. You spirits, you Jezebels. You've been trying to get you rebellion. I command you to come out. Come out of the soul. We've exposed you with the word of God. We break you. We assault you. We're not going to let you grow inside of there. We crush your power. We crush your heel. We crush you under our heel today in the name of Jesus. You have no ground over these saints. None. We command you to go in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Now, I just want you to say this after me. Jesus, help me to be submitted. Help me to go wherever I have to go. Do whatever I have to do to be a servant with an humble and lowly heart to get in God's proper order. For, Lord, he that is greatest is he that is least. And he that would be chief of all is he that is servant of all. Give me the heart of Jesus. Amen.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.